and welcome to We The People. I'm Gargi Rawat. Today on the show, we're looking at social media and the impact it's had on Indian politics. Now, the 2014 elections were a turning point on this account, and the conventional ways of sending messages out to the electorate through recorded calls, public gatherings, gave way to Twitter, WhatsApp, Facebook, YouTube, which all became part of the campaign trail, and there has been no looking back ever since. 2014 is called India's first social media elections, but since then, we've seen how the political battle, which can get very, very ugly on the ground, can get even uglier on social media. Now, the key states are heading to polls, and 2019 elections are just around the corner. So today, we're going to take a good look at the good, the bad, and the ugly aspects of elections on social media. Never before has there been so much fake news being peddled and used to influence voters. News on television and print has its checks and balances, we hope, of course. While social media, which is hailed for allowing people to speak their minds, for connecting directly to people, has also become a means of spreading falsity and hatred. So to discuss all these various, very fascinating issues, today in studio we have with us Dilip Cherian, co-founder Perfect Relations and someone who's seen many elections and many ways of fighting elections. Sekha Datta, South Asia editor, Asia Times. Vineet Goenka, Secretary, Center for Knowledge Society, who's also worked on social media and politics. Alex Trevely, Asia editor, The Economist. Lalita Kumar Mangalam, Director, India Foundation, and someone who's part of the BJP. Mohammed Khan, spokesperson for the Congress. And joining us, Govind Raj Ethiraj, founder of India Spend and Boom News, someone who actually checks on that fake news. Also, Rajneel Kamath, digital media professional and a trends observer. Well, first, Dilip, I'd like to start with you, because as someone who's seen so many elections and you've seen how it's all been transforming, and it's still transforming, it's still evolving the way we're fighting elections. What do you feel about the way it's happening now, where 2014 was the first social media election? Prime Minister Modi is said to be the first social media prime minister that we've had, and he's really mastered all the various forms of social media and even traditional media. You have Mann Ki Baat as well by the prime minister. So how do you view this, and what are the dangers that you see?
You know, Gargi, looking at the big picture, there's no doubt that the change is substantial and the change is permanent. When we started election management, as it were, poll management systems about five elections ago, things were very different. You spent a lot of time with candidates, giving them speeches, making them worry about how they address large gatherings of people and mass audiences. But media was always very important, because that was fundamentally how they got beyond their niche audience, you know, the people who could go and physically see them. But today, I think the virtual landscape has changed, and the war has shifted to the digital war rooms, which actually decide what the messaging is going to be and how you're going to magnify, quantify, and direct your messages.
And you're sidestepping mainstream media. You're reaching out directly to the electorate.
The great thing with this kind of approach is that every single candidate is virtually in touch with every single voter who matters to her or him. So that's fundamentally the change that's happened. Mm. And if they're smart, today's election, the candidates know that it's equally important to listen as to broadcast. That's the big thing that has been missing from previous elections. Because what happened earlier was that senior, you know, politicians went by seat of the pants. They talked to a few chosen people, but here you are actually being able to listen to the voice of anybody you want to listen to. So that's the big change that's happened. And when we do management of elections, now we find that social media is actually hugely important in terms of providing candidates with virtually a kind of benchmark on each kind of issue that they're talking about, how popular it is, what's the view to be taken, how to nuance yourself. And that is the big learning for a lot of politicians, because it goes beyond party lines. It goes beyond what their manifestos will say.
And talking about learning, again, 2014, you saw the BJP in the lead-up, or rather Narendra Modi in the lead-up, had really mastered this art of sending out messages, hashtags on Twitter, Facebook as well. He's currently the most followed leader on Facebook. And I'd like to ask you about the Congress now, Dilip, as somebody who's also been a part of Congress's, you know, media management, etc. They've been so slow on this. Yes, maybe over the last year or two, they've kind of picked up. They've realized the importance of social media, but they've really, been slow to take to it. Whereas BJP and then even Aam Aadmi Party has been fairly quick on the uptake when it comes to social media as a means of reaching out to people.
Whether it's working with the BJP, the Congress, or the Aam Aadmi Party, we've done work for all of them.
Yes,
so I can tell you that it actually depends entirely on the leadership. If the leader at the top says this doesn't matter, then it doesn't matter to the rank and file, whatever they may say. But my big prediction for the 2019 elections is going to be, this is probably going to be the first election that's also going to see huge impact of AI, artificial intelligence, coming in the way that's going to be used to crunch up all the big data and give people directions in which to head. And you will see the power of huge computing coming into play for the first time. So it's once again going to be a matter of who has the money and who has the technology to be able to do this, which answers your question about the Congress, that having been late starters, they either have to take advantage of the fact that they should leapfrog some of the stages which many parties have been through and not do the conventional stuff that digital warriors have been creating for parties, and perhaps create a new paradigm, because even digital is changing substantially.
All right. In fact, before the Madhya Pradesh election, the Congress actually had they put this out there that they wanted candidates to have Facebook pages and have at least so many thousands likes and so many, and have WhatsApp groups as well. So it shows just
like
how much.
Like in UPSC jobs, an essential qualification was X, X kind of things. Yes.
Yes. So that shows how far they've changed. And so Sekhar, what do you feel about this changing political landscape and the way elections are being fought, and the fears, of course, about fake news? That's always a worry, and it's also a means to spread hatred, to spread fear, insecurities as well. WhatsApp especially is a means, that is a form that has been used to do these things.
So it's all about the narrative and who can quickly create a narrative which will stick. So earlier, the narrative, because of the structure of the media, the mainstream media used to be in a position to aid or challenge a certain narrative. And this has historically been the case. And even if you look at constitutional history, whether in the United States, the UK, or in India, the media always played a major role. Now, politicians have figured out that how do I sidestep the media, whatever their motivations are, and challenge that narrative by creating a new narrative. And if you go back a few years ago, everything that we were talking about social media, we used to say, for example, the Arab street and the Arab world is changing because of Twitter. Today, when we look back at it, that narrative was a completely false narrative, because everybody thought that the Arab world will change and it will become more modern. In fact, it's become more regressive, and they are now using social media to further more regressive ideas. For example, what Saudi Arabia did around the Khashoggi murder case,
yes,
and how
absolutely.
They gamed the whole system. So what we are today seeing is that politicians have figured out that public, that is we the people, have very short memories, and we jump from outrage to outrage. So that's the best way to game us, so that we don't ask the substantial questions. We don't get deeper into anything. Our attention span is so short that it is reduced to 280 characters on Twitter. We will never read any longer piece. We will never read anything which is, or ask more substantial questions. And that has brought us to this new narrative where we can quickly change people and divert them to not so important issues, so that we never ask the more important questions.
And the fears about what we saw with Cambridge Analytica and that entire scandal that, they sold profiles of 50 million people, and it was used by Team Trump, et cetera, et cetera. Cambridge Analytica has denied that. But the fact that they've worked in India as well was something that emerged during that entire scandal. And this, what do you feel about this whole issue of data being used and people, their profiles being used in fighting elections?
So, if you were to look at it from an intelligence structure, I mean, intelligence agencies try and get as much data as possible, also to use it for disinformation campaigns as and when it is required. But today, the best intelligence agency on the planet is Facebook, because they have more than 1 billion+ people, all that data is available, and they can access that data. And unless structural parliaments come in and do something about it, you will not be able to take them on. But look what happened with the Cambridge Analytica case. You have the Minister of IT saying that we will file an FIR, we will take action against Facebook, etc. But when they get a response from Facebook, he suddenly changes and he says that, look, we can't even reveal what Facebook has told us. So the people we elected and empowered to be people who will be custodians of our data, even they are not being able to stand up to a company like Facebook today.
So we've seen a lot of statements of Shankar Prasad saying we will not tolerate any sort of interference in our elections.
We don't know what Facebook...
And warning Facebook.
He agreed and he accepted the fact that 500,000 Indians' data had been compromised. But even he is not in a position to reveal today, and under RTI, which is a parliamentary act, they won't even reveal what Facebook has responded to these charges, etc. So today the fact of the matter is that data is very, very critical to create that narrative, exploit the fact that people have very short memories, keep leading them from one outrage to the other so that no substantial question. And that, in a way, to put it crudely, it's the dumbification of us as citizens to ensure that we are perennially kept in an outrage mode so that we never are able to ask for real governance issues.
Oh, Vineet, what do you say to that? Is that something you agree with as somebody who's been, you know, closely involved with social media as a means for political parties to reach out to the electorate?
So if I can just take liberty and throw this up in the public, because now it's a public thing. So basically what a political party does is when it starts a campaign, it divides the entire people population into two parts. So we divided that into two streams. One was P2P, another was P2V. So you divide party to party man communication and party to voters communication. So you don't do everything in the same fashion, else you do a mistake. So you divide that.
So tell us how you go about it when you're doing the electioneering.
So now it's, so I wrote a book and then it came out. So now yes, it's, people know it. So I don't know. So I'm, it's nothing new. So you don't sell the same old trick again.
But different means also. So I'd like to ask you about Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp.
Party to party men and party to voters are the two streams. And you don't think in the same way in the web. Number one, then you also understand, we understood one thing, that earlier it was one to many and fixed geography. We broke that into one to many, infinite in infinite geography. What does it mean by that? Earlier, one leader, one journalist will listen to him. The journalist will digest what it wanted and then go and tell the people of that particular geography what he wanted to tell and press the brief. Now, here what happened? We broke that system and we said one to many. So, the leader talks to the many people directly and he breaks the geographical barrier. So, now a candidate in Rae Bareli necessarily not talks to the voters of Rae Bareli. He talks to voters of everywhere. So, there is a pressure from outside. So, you bring a cyclone inside the pressure. So, it's one to many, infinite of infinite geography. That's the whole theory. Now, here, the briefings which you want to send out, before that, you have to put the methodology in place. So, probably the machine and the methodologies are more important than the man who is sitting there. So, that's the whole idea. It's technology first and then the man which was put there. And then you put in all the...
So explain that. What do you mean that the means or the technology is more important than the man?
Yeah, so in this particular kind of communication, so what you do is, you first decide what is the communication channel which you will use, what are they. So you are not going to use always Twitter for Twitter's sake, you use different vehicles for different people. So if I have to communicate to Darbhanga, I don't use Twitter, then I use another vehicle which I would like to communicate. And then
and then
when you in Mumbai, in Delhi itself also, you don't use one particular vehicle for everybody. People travel in metro, people travel in private cars which are joggers, right? So they are high-end car users and also we have people. So you decimate that and then use the particular vehicle which you want to use. So it's not correct to say we only use Twitter every time. Or it's the right mix and how do you communicate?
No, nobody's saying you only use Twitter. Of course, there's YouTube, there's Facebook, there's WhatsApp. WhatsApp is the very tricky one because there's no way of knowing what is being put out there. There's no way of tracking down who's putting what information. Ahead of Karnataka elections, you had this news coming out that BBC has predicted that the BJP is going to get so many seats, and then BBC actually had to put out a statement saying, no, we never conducted any such study. And I'd like to bring Govind Raj in here on this point, this whole issue about fake news and these stories being put out there to influence elections. And the media's job, I have to say, has never been more important in terms of calling out fake stories.
Right, yeah. I mean, if I could just go back to the technology part and then I'll come back to this.
Sure.
I think in my mind, 2019 will see far greater equalization of technology than it was in 2014. 2014, the BJP was clearly ahead in the way they used technology and they used it for positive messaging. And to some extent, that was a reflection of the way the Obama used it and which in turn was the first time. So I think that those lessons have been learned, as you've already mentioned. And 2019, we'll see more equalization. The second thing is that a lot of products and services, technology products and services in the campaign, political campaign, donation management, follower management space, which are now easily available, which everyone will get access to. What will matter then is the number of people, and that is really more a physical task than a digital task. I mean, the BJP, as you know, has been inviting people to join up, to become members, to donate, and that in turn gives them data, that in turn gives them followers, and this is something that they've done in the past as well. Even if you look at Karnataka, BJP had something like 23,000 WhatsApp groups, and that's the number we have for all of Karnataka, and there were about 10,000 in Bangalore alone. Now, this is not to say that there was any negative messaging or fake news being distributed and that, but these were real people who were members who were obviously wanting to listen to what was coming from the party leadership and so on. Now, if you look at the way fake news is disseminated, a lot of it actually does not get disseminated on official political party channels for any party. I think a lot of that happens in a subterranean manner, but what will happen in 2019 is the level of understanding and education about fake news will definitely be higher than what it is today. Now, I'm taking a bit of a gamble when I say that, but I do believe that our level of awareness and understanding about fake news is growing every day. People across the spectrum, old people, young people, children are far more aware, and therefore the kind of fake news which will actually cause damage will be far less, because people will be far more observant and careful about what they see and what they believe. So all in all, I think it's a far more equalized platform, except for the scale, which at least as we go today, BJP definitely has an advantage on the technology front.
All right, Lalit, I'd like to get you in here when he's talking about fake news, and often it's it's not through official channels, but it's party men who may be, putting these wrong stories out there. Shouldn't parties be more responsible also? Don't we? Election Commission has said they're going to try and control, and they'll have a blueprint, and they're going to take this issue very seriously. But parties themselves also need to be more responsible about the kind of information that's put out there.
Absolutely,
and calling it out.
But there are always some bad apples in the basket. Now, I'd just like to bring in a word of, slightly different from all the technology people here. Technology matters. I'm not saying it doesn't. Yes, social media did an enormous amount to project Mr. Modi in the last elections, and it will do so in this elections too, for all the parties concerned. Most parties have become very tech savvy, especially AAP and BJP, but I'm sure the Congress and other parties are not very far behind. But with all the technology that you have, there is a certain amount that depends on the candidate and the person, the leader who's sitting at the top. Because who's being projected? It's not just the words that, a written word that matters. More often than not, direct contact is extremely important. What capacity a particular individual, leader or candidate, in this case, because we're talking about the 2019 parliamentary elections, has to communicate with whatever population, we are using words like military, target population, etc. So let me just stick to that. In research, that's what we say, target population. And much of what is going to be decided is going to be decided on the basis of big data, which is, again, technical. But how it is going to be put across to the persons whom you want to talk to is equally important. And the capacity of leaders also to listen to what those whom we are talking to want to ask us, is also equally important. So you can't rule out the human factor either. Now,
all right,
this is not to belittle technology at all, but ultimately technology is also run by men. Even artificial intelligence, I agree, it's probably in many cases smarter than many of us.
Because
nonetheless,
this targeting of the electorate was always done. We always had each constituency, you figure out what is
now.
The caste, community, etc. You figure out
that
what is it they need. You have cash for votes happening. You have saris being distributed. These sort of means are used.
All of that.
And
was
you think
that was
this
in the
is
past,
just
will
therefore
translated there
into something slightly different. It's the same thing, but it's different. You get data about the
it's
electorate
as well. It's going to be much more micro now, Gandhi.
And
you're not looking at large sections of population merely. You're going to be looking at micro populations also. For example, people beyond a certain age. For example, people beyond a certain age of a certain caste in a certain state. In a certain district, perhaps even in a certain constituency. So it's going to be much more micro, and there will be a lot more data available. Now, I don't know if any politician, politicians have experience means a lot in a lot of this. It's how the capacity a person has to pick up that data and use it for their own propagation or whatever other word you want to use is equally important, which is where Mr. Modi is considered an absolute expert. So is Mr. Kejriwal. So it's not necessary that one party only has it, the others don't. I'm saying that a lot of it is going to also depend on perhaps the training and the skilling of actually the candidates also.
All right, Rajneel, I'd like to come to you now, taking from what Lalita said and how it's a mix and match, the candidates, the people, the person to person, as well as the messaging they're sending out there, be it on WhatsApp, Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, the internet is perhaps the best invention that's come around for politics. It's really, really simple to slice and splice your data and target you in a manner like never before. Both Facebook and Google probably know more about you than you do. And if you have a smart person who's running your campaign, it's easy to identify those vulnerabilities that people have and micro-target them to a level like never before. You know, we all sit and talk about WhatsApp, Twitter, Facebook. What we're not recognizing even now is that there are many platforms that began in India that are truly Indian in nature, which are maybe perhaps bigger than platforms like Twitter and are available in local languages. You should see those platforms. They will really tell you what's running on the ground. ShareChat is a great example of it, where it doesn't have English as a language, but today you can see Manoj Tiwari, Prime Minister Modi, Rahul Gandhi, Aam Aadmi Party are trending. No one's even talking about these unknown platforms, which are also going to have a really, really large impact when it comes to these elections.
Mohammed, coming to you and about the Congress and social media, well, is everything okay right now? You know, we've been hearing all these stories about Divya Spandana, who's somebody who's credited with turning around the Congress's social media outlook. But there also seems to be a bit of a tussle within, and people are, you know, trying to control her. We've seen all these kind of stories coming out. She was actually meant to have also come on the show today, but then that unfortunate tweet that she sent out about the Prime Minister created a massive controversy. And then, you know, she said that I won't be able to come till Diwali. But anyway, tell us about the Congress. And, you know, as we were saying earlier, it has changed, but it just seems there are a lot of problems also.
Thank you for that preface, Gargi. I will, of course, answer your question, but before that, a lot of very good points have been made by the entire panel, and I think it would be best if I built upon them. Dilip sir began by saying that the use of social media is governed by the leadership, right? He's absolutely right. The degree to which a party utilizes social media is indeed governed by the leadership, but how they use it, and this is why I want to add, how they use it, how the party workers use it, is also governed by the leadership. Do you use the platform to inspire young people? Or do you use it to instigate and incite violence, communal sentiments, hatred against Dalit and women? I'll give you an example. Two very interesting things happened this year, and I think you should mention those while you talk about Divya ji as well, is that Amit Shah ji addressed the vast army of social media workers in September, and he proudly declared, we have the capacity to make the truth or lies go viral. We can make anything go viral, chahe sach ho, chahe jhoot ho, hum use viral kar denge. Very proud achievement, isn't it? Also a very telling commentary on how they use social media. In July, Mr. Amit Shah also met with social media volunteers. You should have seen some of these people, Gandhi. They were some of the most well-recognized serial abusers on social media. We all know over the last 4 years that the Prime Minister follows some of these people. Bade fakhar se likhte hain ye apne Twitter accounts pe ke blessed to be followed by PM Modi.
Yes, and that has been that. Something very problematic and that, something that gets constantly called out.
And that leads
out
to the problem
well.
Of normalization. So the leadership sets the tone, and the tone that the BJP has set is very worrying. Govind Raj said something very interesting. He spoke about the fact that, you know, people now are able to discern whether the messages are genuine or fake. I'm certain you have a very young audience, and I'm certain that aajkal unke paas messages aate honge BJP se, Nehru ke bare mein, Sardar Patel ke bare mein, wo padhte bhi nahi honge do baar. Wo bolenge are BJP ne bheja hai, fatigue, move on. Because we know the script the BJP reads from. That's why Vineet bhai said we can't reveal all our tricks today. My friend Saikat spoke about the fact that, look, you can sometimes overestimate. He gave the example of the Arab Spring, where we made huge predictions. Oh my God, social media will change the nature of politics in the Middle East. Kya hua? Akhir mein these Muslim Brotherhood guys came in, the army rolled in. Today it's a totalitarian state in Egypt. He's right. Social media is packaging. It's advertising. Don't get me wrong. It's a truism. It is inextricably linked to getting our message across. It is vital. But to say that it is the end all and be all, is false. So I'll conclude. I'll conclude on this point. I remember in Gujarat, the BJP spends crores of rupees. They have the most massive machinery, as you pointed out, right? They are early adopters. They're first to the game. They have the most massive machinery for social media. But in Gujarat, I remember Mr. Amit Shah saying, holding a very nervous meeting where he said, please don't believe everything you read on social media. Bahut galat afwahein phailai ja rahi hain hamare bare mein, bharosa mat kijiyega. Which leads me, and I'll conclude on this point, to something that Lincoln once said. You can't fool all of the people all of the time. And that is the story of
social
media. But
you cannot conclude there because you haven't answered my question about the Congress and social media. How slow the Congress party was taking to social media. Rahul Gandhi only joined, office of Rahul Gandhi only joined social media, Twitter in 2015. And I think just a few months ago, he took charge personally of his Twitter account. So finally, it was like he was speaking directly.
Well,
but
Gargi,
so very slow in taking
no,
that
I,
through
I would say, yes, the BJP are early adopters. 2013-14 was their year. They did set the narrative. But over 2016 and 17, you saw a massive change. You see a visibly nervous BJP. Rahulji tweets, ek 280 character ka tweet kar dete, char cabinet mantri aa jate hain press conference karne ke liye. And you tell us we are weak on social media then.
I'm not saying you're weak, I'm saying you came to it very late. Alex, how do you view
De
all this?
You
know,
Gargi.
Social media is being used the world over and it's still being investigated, the Russian influence in the election in the United States. We've just seen a Brazil election, which a far-right leader has come in and it's being said that a lot of, the fear-mongering was done on social media to make people actually vote for him. And now it's going to be very interesting going into 2019 and seeing the kind of messaging of feisty Congress and the BJP all already quite adept at maneuvering social media.
The other elections around the world over the past year, 6 months even, have really captured my attention when I'm thinking about India's election next year. In 2014 was its own story. We all agree that the BJP stole a march on Congress, and Congress and other parties have been working to catch up. But when we talk about that story, we're mainly talking about the parts of the social media universe that we understand. Be it WhatsApp, especially in India, also Facebook and Twitter. But I'd like to elaborate maybe what Rajneel was starting to talk about. There are platforms in India that perhaps many in your audience will know or won't know. I'm only recently starting to become familiar with them. A lot of them are India-born. A lot of these are Chinese-financed. In fact, some of them are Chinese companies. For instance, NewsDog, I think, is entirely Tencent-owned. There are a bunch of other platforms that have enormous, enormous readerships. Now, these are, on the face of it, like news platforms. Perhaps they are news platforms. I would say that they're like WhatsApp in the sense that it's a quasi-social media. Now, in India, everyone accepts that WhatsApp is social media. I'll tell you that in the U.S., in other Western countries, it's typically still seen as a communications tool only. Its primary use
being peer-to-peer. In fact, that's why not too much is written about WhatsApp, because it's not so big in the United States
exactly.
at all. It's very big here in India.
Exactly. But in India, it's probably the most important if you have to choose a single app. And that's something, the larger point I want to make about these quasi-social media platforms and apps is that it's an extremely chaotic and fast-moving landscape in terms of media, like nothing the world has ever seen before. This election next year in India, by some estimates, might be the world's most expensive ever. It will cost, not just Indian election, but any election. It will cost thousands of crores, perhaps tens of thousands of crores are going to be spent. And it's all going to be hidden, the vast majority of it, because campaign finance laws in India require that only tiny, tiny fractions of that may be spent. So this chaotic landscape is going to help not only players who wish to have their identities concealed into the marketplace of Indian media, but it's also going to allow massive expenditures of black money like we've never seen before in Indian politics or any other. And liken it to a battlefield, it's going to be a battlefield with secret weapons scattered across the terrain.
And by secret weapons, you mean the various social media platforms.
Exactly.
And these
and
other
different parties will have different strategies.
Not so well known.
It's not a World War I situation where everyone's bringing known quantities of troops and armor onto the battlefield. I suspect each of these parties will have an idea, like maybe this platform no one's thought of before, or this structure of branching WhatsApp accounts can, with certain timing, bring in an AI tool that no one's ever seen before. And if you try 100 of these strategies, perhaps 99 won't work, but one will win the election for you. A lot of attention has gone to how surprising the last American presidential election results were and how the Russians may have played some role in it, certainly played some role in it. Very much less attention is paid to the fact that a bunch of freelancing Macedonian teenagers who wanted to make small bucks off of minor political action committees in the United States were able to attract millions and millions of viewers by clever algorithms that they fed into Facebook mainly. It's an extremely chaotic landscape, and there's every reason to think it'll be more so in India than in the U.S., than in Brazil, than in any of these other surprising contexts.
All right, so, Saikat, what do you think about about what Alex is saying there, and are we also overstating this? I'd like to put to all of you: are we overstating the influence social media has on elections? The penetration in India is around 25%, and so do you feel that? We're creating a big phantom out of nowhere and it's not this big?
Let me demonstrate it by a quick experiment right now. There are 41 people in this studio right now. How do I know it? I just physically counted them. Now, some people will say, no, there are 37 people because they'll discount the four camera people who are filming this right now. So data sets can be sliced in any which way. And we have to start looking at social media not just as a way to give out and farm out ideas and narratives, but how to collect data. I'll give you another example. How many politicians today have apps of their own? The Prime Minister has his own app.
Yes.
And if you've seen, a lot of cabinet ministers use that app to put out information. But if you go back into the app, you will suddenly see it's also collecting a lot of information. And as you start collecting a lot of information and all the data that you have, that you give up because you just have that app on your phone or any app, Facebook takes a lot of your data. That information is hard, hard data. And once you have hard data, what can you do with it? Give me half an hour, give me a little bit of your data, I can manipulate everybody's behavior. How do I manipulate everybody's behavior? Let's say I take one person here, I say something which is completely outrageous to that person, and I know what point that person will become outraged at. I have already influenced that behavior, and using these kind of influences, I can then start directing their political choices. So the point is that we have
but
to stop looking
how
at...
How big is the worry something like this would happen?
It is already happening. It is already happening because you see that data collection. And this is where, I mean, Govind says that the Congress is trying to catch up. You will see a great equalizer. I certainly don't think that's the case because in some ways the BJP is far ahead and far smarter as a political entity because they've not only figured out that not only do we have to control the narrative, they've also figured out how to control the narrative by collecting the data, which can then very quickly be farmed out to create. I mean, we've heard about how do we micro audience, how do we address them? That micro audience can be addressed if I have that data.
The question you're asking about, is it really that big or is it not that big? Are we creating a bigger thing out of 25%? The fact is that the reason we've used social media in all our campaigns is because social media influences every other kind of media, one.
Yes, that is an important
those
point.
Who are
everybody from the media is on
everybody
social
media.
Everybody
is on media. The media is on it. Second,
you're influencing
those
the media
who
narratives.
Use social media in the village, in the family, are the ones to broadcast the news to the family or pass a view on to the family. So you'll understand that the kid in the house who knows how to book a cinema ticket gets besieged by uncles, aunts, grandparents, everybody to find out what's running where. So everybody's been through that experience. So these are the two reasons why this 25% or 30% or 40% of internet penetration is actually equal to 120%.
Gargi,
yes,
actually there are six M's. So we talked about the machine and the methodology and the market which is in between slide.
Yeah.
But there are material which goes out. And I think probably you rightly said Congress is now catching up and saying that the material has been put. But there is one essential two M's which are left behind. One of the M's is the mind behind it. So you can't imitate that. So that if you see, BJP clearly has an advantage over Congress because the mind sitting there is playing that. And it has to be from the top down. It cannot be bottom up. So even if Divya G is doing a good job, she cannot influence the leadership there. So that's the lack which they have. A. B. We have 543 seats in Lok Sabha, more than 8,000 assembly, 75,000 local self governments. Bharatiya Janata Party in 2013 had a man appointed there everywhere as a convener. So understand, it's not only that. The network which is there.
Yeah.
When you start copying, you don't create this kind of network in one day. So it was not a day's work. It was done over years.
Okay, so massive effort put
so
in
let me
on
put
the,
a very,
the
very,
grassroots
very,
level for 20 years.
Can I just say something?
So let me just complete a very light joke, which I did not mean, I should not have said. So I ask for your forgiveness before I speak that. But let me speak yet. In a childhood, we should tell a
the
joke.
Head of the social media.
Let you know, when India-Pakistan border, Indian soldiers started acting. They said, Zafar kone aajai, general saab ne bulaya. So Zafar stood up. And our Indian soldiers could shoot them. So they had a meeting there in Pakistan ki ye to badmashi yaar koi bhi naam call lete call hi kar dete hai. So Pakistan started calling ki bhai wahan pe Vasant kon hai khade ho jaiye. Indians were smart, they did not stand. They said, "Kisne bola bataiye?" So Pakistan stood up, and then Indians shot them down. So Congress, when they copy BJP, they are going to be shot down. So please understand, it's the original man who has the idea. It's not the copy.
Well, I'd first like to go back to Rajneel. You know, Rajneel got cut off. I'll give you a chance to answer that. Rajneel, you know, we're talking about the influence, and Alex had a lot to say about, you know, the different types of media, something that you were also speaking about, that are out there. Now, the Election Commission has said that they're going to be watching all this very closely, and, you know, they want to control it, and they'll make sure, you know, that nobody misuses it, etc., etc. So, how is that, do you think that's a possibility? How is that going to even happen? Do you think the Election Commission can actually, you know, watch so closely?
So, you know, one of the things that Facebook recently said is
go ahead.
Well, so Facebook recently did an announcement where they said political ads, you could see who the sponsor was. And Vice Media did an expose where they were able to run ads for candidates in a fake manner, and Facebook accepted it. If a giant like Facebook can't figure out what's happening online, how is the Indian Election Commission going to monitor this? And how many platforms are you going to monitor? There's Facebook, there's Twitter, there's WhatsApp with end-to-end encryption, which means you can't even track down what is the origination of fake news. There's ShareChat, there's Halo, there's TikTok. There are so many platforms. Is the Election Commission going to build up such a big team to monitor so many people? How do they even understand that? I think it's a gigantic task, and if the Election Commission is able to build up their capacities, then great. But right now, the monster is larger than what one imagines it's going to be.
All right, Govindraj, I'd like to come. I'd like you to also come in here about tackling fake news, because that is a big menace. I think one of the ways that it could possibly be tackled is complaints. I mean, each party will have to be vigilant on about one another, and the media also will have to be vigilant. And perhaps when one complains to the Election Commission, that is one means of tackling it.
Right, it is going to become bigger, but are we going to see more volume of it? I'm not sure at this time. And will that volume of fake news have the same impact it has been having in 2017 and 2018? I'm not sure. Like I said, because I believe that the level of understanding and awareness would be a little higher than what it is today. Having said that, it is going to get more ingenious. I mean, if you look at what we saw in Karnataka, I mean, you know, the gentleman from The Economist was talking about these young boys sitting in Macedonia and creating fake websites. We saw the same thing in Karnataka. They were websites which were created only for the occasion, you know, putting up electoral polls, exit poll results, which were
like
seemingly
the BBC
real,
result
and which people
that was
obviously
put out
many
there.
Of them believed. And all those websites disappeared the moment the results were announced. So I think we're going to see more ingenious stuff. We're going to see more smart stuff, and fighting that and trying to counter that is not going to be easy. Obviously, people like some of us who maybe focus on fact-checking and fighting misinformation will have to get smarter as well. But political parties will have to become more proactive about trying to catch it. And in some ways, you know, talk about what they are doing to counter this menace as well. I think the problem is that today political parties are perhaps fighting each other in the battlefield, but they're not really fighting the battle against misinformation. Because I think at the end of the day, if they don't do that, the voter or the citizen is going to be more uncomfortable looking at any piece of information from anyone. And that's my real fear. I mean, you know, as we go fast forward about 18 months, we'll be in a situation where most people don't believe most things that come from political parties, politicians, media, and so on. I mean, perhaps that's the case already, but it's going to get
all
much
right,
more
so let's
worse.
Put that question
and therefore,
to the
I think
audience
it's in
here.
Everyone's interest to be seen to be fighting this battle actively.
All right, how many of you, you know, believe what you get on social media, WhatsApp?
Gargi,
how many of you follow political parties and get a lot of your messaging from social media? So you follow political parties on what? On Facebook or Twitter? How do you get your messages? Facebook is where you follow? Okay. Do you have any questions you want to, any point you want to raise about this? Where this young lady here has a question. Yes, go ahead.
Hi. I don't have a question for all of you, like in anyone in particular. So I just wanted to ask that more than 50% of the Indian population belongs to a below 30 age group. So catering to the social media campaigns that the parties are raising, do you think the older population or the non-social media friendly population is not being attended to? Or basically to simply
is it being
put it,
being left out in this messaging, is that what you think?
And also the last point.
You'll be surprised
point.
To know the maximum time which is spent, the average person who is below 30 spends not more than 35 minutes, because he has to spend time in school, college, education, work and all.
you will find population is which is plus 65, mm-hmm. that but spends more than 150 minutes average.
Right, she wants to counter you.
I do put in a lot of time on Facebook, Instagram. I personally follow Narendra Modi on Instagram. So basically...
Thank you for that.
No, because he has an account, that's why. So, but
you're an intelligent
as do
person.
many readers.
I can vouch that.
Yeah, exactly. But honestly, we do spend a lot of time surfing many on social media.
That's but it's average does not come by individual. Average comes by the total population quantum summation divided by the number of people. So the summation when you do, and then when you do the quantum analysis, then you understand plus 60 people who are there. And you'll be surprised soon. I'll give you a very, very good example. Now, it is not only politics. So when I went to Jhunjhunu there, I saw a farmer who was not educated, not a single class. He had some paste on his leaves. He took a photograph of that and WhatsApped it to the agriculture officer. Agriculture officer in turn took the pesticide, took a photograph of it and sent it back to him. This guy went to the pharmacist and said, "Ye wala dawai dena." So if you are assuming that only educated people and two only youngsters
using your smartphones also, but that is what you wanted to answer.
So people's intelligence. So that's a Congress narrative that only youngsters who are educated can use it. But people otherwise also intelligence has nothing to do with your
age. This is what I'm saying, that it doesn't depend just merely on the tool that we're using in social media. It also depends on the person who's using it. Okay. You need to have people at the grassroots. Say about, even if you presume 40% of India's population lives in the cities, the remaining 60 lives in the villages, where perhaps the reach of social media is not yet as much, certainly not as much as it is in the cities. Now, you need to have people in every booth, in every street, in every community. The BJP has spent years building up the grassroots.
All right,
well, that is perhaps our biggest advantage, and we have very net savvy leaders. You may like what they say, you may not like what they say, but once we have people like him working with us, it's a combination that's very powerful. And we are concentrated on our work. We are less bothered about what other people are saying, other people are doing. We know that we are the ones who have to defend ourselves this time and win the elections, and we are 150% committed to it.
All right, well, let's get in another question from this young man.
So we are also very good at using local media platforms.
Why are we not talking about the rural people or the working population who doesn't have the time to read the news posted by Narendra Modi or any other political leader for that sake?
I don't think anybody does not read the
news.
All right,
let's get some more questions.
Everybody reads some form of the other.
So I have a
question.
They
use different. I mean, they.
So I have a question that, as we all know, it has increased the transparency, but on the other side, the fake news or the other perspective we have discussed. So aren't we moving to a system, what we call, jo dikhta hai, wahi bikta hai. So aren't we are moving to a system, beside knowing the facts that it has some
I'll tell you, self-declared auditors.
Let me tell you there are what is called information oases and information deserts. In fact, the problem is slightly less in India and more, for example, in advanced countries like the US and the UK. Because a lot of good content is behind paywalls, what the average person gets to access is only the kind of stuff which people who have a bias are putting out. This danger hasn't come to India yet, except for a few websites, because the people who have the knowledge are going to go increasingly behind paywalls where people pay to hear what they have to say. So if you want to hear what Alex has to say, he is behind a paywall. So people who have the capability to analyze and to actually give you beyond 280 characters something of content.
So are you saying the people have to become more responsible about
and,
the kind of
therefore
news they're
you
consuming?
Have to be
no,
more
no,
Gage,
there is one point which has to be made.
All right, we'll stick to a short break. We'll get more reactions and more
sold.
Of the answers on the other side.
Market,
time for a break. We'll be back with more. Welcome back. Well, we're discussing social media and the impact it has on elections and how the new electoral battlefield is in social media. It's a big, big influencer on the public. But we're trying to get more questions in here with a lot of people asking how to filter out fake news, asking how big an influence social media is. Let's get one of the other questions in here. Yes, go ahead.
My question is to all the panelists. I mean, I do agree that this particular social media is having influence. But how many people are on the social media? And the second part, in spite of that, in 2014, the BJP was at the top. What happened to Delhi election? What happened to Bihar election?
Prashant Kishore
was the hero. But what is happening right now? He could not help Congress party. Congress.
Can I, yeah, but can I answer
the
that?
Question
it's actually
is,
a good question. Yeah.
What is the real... What
the
is
point the, he's making actually hits them as well. He's right.
Sir, man machine lauge, mind kahan se lauge?
Yes, sir.
मैन मशीन तो ले आओगे खरीद के
नहीं सर लेकिन उसकी बात नहीं सर ग्राउंड रियलिटी पे लोगों की एक्सपेक्टेशन
क्या
है व्हाट
इज द या कैन आई जस्ट कम
कम्युनल कम्युनल और कास्टिस्ट
आई विल टेल यू अबाउट द फेक न्यूज आई वाज नॉट दैट इजी सो वी वेंट टू द ब्रेक सो लेट मी जस्ट टेल यू वन थिंग
सी कैन आई से समथिंग
इंडिया इज सच अ बिग कंट्री विद जस्ट वन पैनल वन मीडिया कैन नॉट हेल्प आई
विल टेल यू सर गार्गी कैन आई जस्ट टेक दिस पॉइंट ऑल वेरी सिंपल थिंग ऑल दी सेंचुरीज व्हेन यू वेंट टू फिश मार्केट डिड यू एवर सी अ बोर्ड सेइंग दैट यहां पे खराब फिश बिकती है Everywhere there was written as fresh fish. And the lady who purchased it would check and buy it. She knew it. So the customer or the voter, if you think you're trying to serve
I don't need as an app comparison. Already, come on, yeah.
They check it and take it. My customer and voters are very
intelligent. I want to tell you something very briefly. Look, you seem to be under the misapprehension that we want to emulate what you're doing. Far from it. We have nothing but contempt for the way you handle social media. And we have no desire to emulate it. Sir made a very good point. If they are, and they've only been growing on social media, right, as you've been saying, if they are indeed this gargantuan entity, then what explains their consistent demise since December of 2017? Gujarat, mein, they won by 8 seats, got through the skin of their teeth, lost every single Lok Sabha by-election. They came down from 282 to 272.
Nahin,
but listen, Rafale is a brilliant example. News media, items that we wanted to communicate to the public that we couldn't get through the conventional media. We've managed to use social media to get through. They tried their best on social media to suppress our voices. Kitne kamyab hue sahab?
Chutkare sunate hain. Lalita, I'd like to take you on. Lalita, go ahead.
Chutkare sunate hain. I used to have a friend. That is the problem. When I score 5 goals, he would just say, aaj na tere saath main ladai nahi karunga, ja. So Congress tries everything.
Stories, yes, Lalita. Go ahead.
Karte karte hi ye.
I'd like Lalita one thing. You know, without getting into this tutu meme, the fact is that in politics, arrogance never pays. Unfortunately, the attitude of the Congress towards the BJP, which smacks of upper class arrogance, is going to cost them dearly. Now, regardless of who it may be, this is not a personal attack on anybody. I come from an old political family which has been in the left, the Congress, the BJP, etc. And there's one lesson that politicians who want to run or win elections learn, that you need to hold back your so-called contempt or your hate or your whatever it is when you're in public. We presume that the Indian voter is a fool who's going to be taken in by everything we throw at him. The moment you presume that, you're going to lose the election. Indians are very smart. I know social media is great. It'll influence politics, etc. But even the youngsters who are sitting here, who are definitely not my generation, not made out, let me not flatter myself that much, they will be able to sift out a certain amount of what is right, wrong, etc. And ultimately, okay, maybe people may vote in blocks, we can influence them, etc. But there is always something else which sets apart a winner from somebody who's a loser, regardless of what party they may belong to. And a lot of that is in the grassroots.
All right, Alex,
Mohammed, you've had a lot to say. Let Alex come in.
I just wanted to make a point about
Congress gave us dabai ja rahi hai.
Intelligence. And certainly it's not a knock against democracy or the intelligence of the average voter. But there is another war going on that we're essentially talking about, not just the war between these parties going to the polls, but a war between artificial intelligence, broadly speaking, and natural human intelligence. And there's an arms race. I think it was Gobind made an optimistic point that after what happened in 2014, or not the results of the election especially, but maybe these better publicized lynchings that have happened in, I think, 8 different states, on the basis of
fake news or rumor mongering.
Absurd fake news. Fake news that anyone with any sophistication about media ought to see as fake news or, you know, it's news that really grabs the least educated, most vulnerable members of society and takes advantage of them. The fact is that perhaps now the country is sophisticated enough that such ploys will no longer work. But the ploys are getting more sophisticated too, very, very rapidly. And this arms race against our human intelligence and artificial intelligence isn't going to end before.
All right,
this
I'd like
poll.
To get Govind Raj in on that the issue about fake news, people becoming more discerning, but the ploys, as Alex said, are also getting better and better.
No, of course, and they will get much better because there will be smart people who will be roped into the task, I mean, whether they work for political parties or outside. All I'm saying is, just to echo what Alex said, is that the most obvious ones that we saw earlier will not be repeated. I mean, and that's the evolution of the technology, internet, social space. I mean, everything that happens at the intersection keeps changing, and, you know, we respond, machines respond, and so on. But this is not to say that 2019 is not going to see, the run up to 2019 is not going to see some really, let's say, divisive messaging, is not going to see fake news all sort of elements of fake news being tried in many ways. We are obviously going to see it. All I'm saying is everyone has to become smarter about it. To some extent, they will. And everyone has to take responsibility. And that's the most important thing. Political parties have to be seen to be at the front of this battle, saying that we take responsibility for the actions of maybe some of our people or people who support us. And therefore, we want to make this whole space about positive messaging. Exactly the way, for instance, if you see BJP, the way they won 2014 was on positive messaging. It's not
absolutely
because
it was about economics.
Sort of
it was about deliverables
and misinformation into the system.
All right, Dilip, final word to you. And I agree with what Govindran has to say there. I do want to see parties becoming more responsible. And I think the voters and the public also need to become more discerning.
As we look at social media, whether it's young people, whether it's the farmer, whether it's the working person or the unemployed person, the big thing that we are forgetting is that when an economy and a polity as sophisticated as the United States got trumped by the Russians, understand that all of you are sitting on Chinese phones using Chinese platforms. We are really not understanding even the thin end of the wedge that's going to affect Indian politics circa 2019 and thereafter. Because whether you like it or not, there are new players in the system which are not even the political parties.
I think, on that note, I have to end the show. I'm completely out of time. But clearly, the message here is that we all have to become more discerning, smarter in the way we consume the various news that is being thrown at us. And there should be checks and balances. And we should expect our parties also to become more responsible. Thank you so much for watching. Goodbye.